Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It's The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert.
Welcome back to The Late Show. Ladies and gentlemen, my guests tonight are Broadway legends with over 20 musicals under their belts. One of them wrote the scores for Cabaret and Chicago. The other one created In the Heights and Hamilton. Please welcome to The Late Show, Lin-Manuel Miranda and John Kander. John, thank you for being here. Lin, always a pleasure.
Sure.
Welcome back. Look at that. We don't get that every night. John Kander, Lin-Manuel Miranda, lovely to see both of you. You're both giants of the musical theater world. John, you've been at it just a little bit longer than Lin over there. How old are you now, sir?
96.
Born in 1927, then?
Yes, I was.
Oh, this theater was built in 1927. Yeah, you guys are twins.
I feel so much better now.
And when did Lin come on your radar?
I can remember that exactly. I went to see an off-Broadway production of In the Heights because a friend of mine was in it. I didn't know anything about him. And I saw this miracle on the stage. And I stayed behind to... I'm not a very aggressive person, but I did stay behind because I wanted to meet him and find out who was responsible for this. Well, that's really true.
That's really true. And he invited me to lunch, and I was so scared because here I am eating lunch with the guy who wrote some of my favorite musicals. And we sat down around the corner from your house, and the first thing he said to me was, "Do you ever feel, when you're writing a song, like you have no idea what you're doing?" And that immediately, like, leveled the playing field, and then we just started talking about songwriting, and we're still talking about it 15 years later.
Right, and it's funny. Our series of luncheons were something that just sort of evolved. I learned a lot from him, and still am, and we became fast friends, and so here we are.
Here we are, inside the TV.
There it is. There you go. Well, so you guys started working together after those lunches, and now you're working on New York, New York. What is that about?
New York, New York is very, well, it takes its name and the barest slivers of plot from the original Scorsese film starring Robert De Niro and Liza Minnelli, but it really is a love letter to New York City. It takes place just after World War II, and it's about musicians coming to the city, really citizens coming from all over the world to become themselves in New York. And the song that John so brilliantly writes is, they're looking for their major chord, which is music, money, love. Not necessarily in that order.
let's talk about the title song. John, what do you remember about writing New York, New York? Because I know that the form of the song that we all know and love now is not the original form of the song.
Thank God.
I would agree. I've heard the original.
You have?
I have. I heard the Terry Gross interview. And I think you guys did a good job on that rewrite of that song. How did it come about?
Well, Fred and I...
Fred Ebb, your writing partner for so many years.
And I went down to play... We were assigned to write a score for a movie called New York, New York. that Martin Scorsese was directing, and Liza Minnelli and Robert De Niro were in. And we went down to Marty's office, and we played our score. I think there were 7, 8 songs, something like that. And he and Liza were very complimentary. And we started to go home, and over in the couch was somebody we hadn't met, and that was Robert De Niro.
Just like this.
And we saw all we saw of him was an arm that went up. And Scorsese said, "Excuse me just a minute, De Niro wants to speak to me." And so he went over and sat at the couch with him. And then I saw two arms doing that. And then Scorsese came back, and in the most embarrassed way, said that De Niro feels that the title song, which is associated with him, is not as strong as The World Goes Round, which is associated with Liza's character. And he really could hardly get the words out. He said, "Would you guys mind going back and taking another crack at it?"
And how did you feel about that?
Oh, well, Freddie and I, in our politest stiffness, said, "Of course." And
of course they lied.
Anyway, we left and we went back to Freddie's apartment, and we were so pissed off. And that some actor was going to tell us.
Some actor, some Bobby D, somebody or other, yeah.
Anyhow, we went into Freddie's study, and in 45 minutes we wrote this other song that we now know as New York, New York. And we took it back, and they got to it and liked the song. And the point of it all is that De Niro was absolutely right. The original song we wrote was so embarrassing that today, actually, Sam Davis, is our music coordinator, sneaked it into the underscoring.
Oh, so it's somewhere in this musical.
I'm not telling you where.
By the way, I think that's the secret of the song's success and why it's become a New York anthem is because they wrote it while they were a little pissed off. And I think every New Yorker is a little pissed off.
Who do you think you are? I'll show you greatness.
It has just a little you in it. A little bam, bam.
Well, the line, if you can make it there, is, of course, one of the most famous lines from the song and the most famous things associated with New York now. Well, what is the moment you realized you had made it? Lynn, let's start with you.
I always say I'll never make a bigger leap in my life than going from substitute teacher at my old high school to Broadway composer, which was the leap I made when In the Heights made it from off-Broadway to Broadway. I was still subbing even when...
You weren't even a permanent teacher. You were just...
I relied on teachers at my old high school to get sick 5 times a month, and then I could pay my rent.
Wow.
So that was the biggest leap I'll ever take in my life. But I think the moment was kind of, I think the moment you realize you're a New Yorker is when you can walk into your bodega and they just start making the order. Because you're there every day. That's like...
Right, they know.
That's...
John, what's your sense of being a New Yorker, John? Do you have a thing that you associate with really being a New Yorker?
Yeah. Some of it, I think, is... I was saying in the other room something I didn't realize until today. I think I've always been a New Yorker, even when I was growing up in Kansas City.
What's that ineffable thing?
Okay, this is the substance of the show, really, and it's something I believe truly, deeply. I think that New York City is the greatest social experiment that the world has ever seen.
What are the elements of the experiment?
I think Everybody lives in New York, and everybody's natural enemy lives in New York. Truly.
Sure.
And the fact is, for the most part, they don't kill each other. And if you think of other big cities in the world, you think of London and all of the people from all over the world who live there, and the English. And in Paris, you think of all the people who live there from all over the world, and the French. In New York, there's only others. And the idea of that has moved me my whole life. And
when did you first come to New York?
I came to New York. My folks used to bring my brother and me here on spring vacation. And we would go to theater every night. And my brother would sit at one end of the row and I would the other, wisely. And and the lights would go down and we would instinctively lean forward and look at each other. I was in music and theater from the time I was a little kid. I just assumed that this is where I would live. And then at the end of the war, which I didn't kill anybody.
World War II, just so everybody knows, yeah.
Oh, my God, there have been that many wars.
There have been a few since, unfortunately, yeah.
When your ship came to New York, after wherever you had been, there were signs everywhere that said, "Welcome home, well done." And that could sound really corny to a lot of people today, but it wasn't the well done part. It was the welcome home. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cry a bit.
You say you've been writing since you were quite small. I want to get to what your first song was in just a moment. But Lynn, do you remember the first song you wrote?
I think it was "Into My Fisher Price Tape Recorder."
Oh,
it was called "The Garbage Pail Kids Are in Town."
Aha!
And it was about all the different Garbage Pail Kids because I collected Garbage Pail Kids cards, and they were coming to town.
John, what was your first song? Do you remember?
Yeah, it's a Christmas carol that I wrote when I was in second grade.
Wow.
And I didn't find out until many years later that my second grade teacher, Miss Matthews, had called my folks and said, I just want to tell you that John wrote a Christmas carol. Is that all right? Because I know you're Jewish.
And what did your folks say? Was that okay?
That was fine with them. They tried to explain to me that there was more to it than that.
you wrote for so many years. You wrote with 40 years with your partner, Fred Ebb. What is it like to continue to compose and to create songs without him? What are the challenges and what are some of the discoveries that you've made?
After Freddie died in 2004, there were some leftover projects, which I vowed to finish. And I began to work with other people, with myself. And I think I found out that I couldn't not write. And that's really the whole secret. It's like a habit that you just can't get rid of. Mm-hmm. And I've been really, really lucky that I get to play in the sandbox with people like him. Yep.
Lynn, I know that you're inspired. I know that you've been inspired by John and Fred Ebb, and I understand that you wrote the song "The Room Where It Happens," extraordinary song from Hamilton, as a love letter to them. How so?
Yeah, that's my song in Hamilton that is my little hat nod to Candern Ebb. It's It's a very different style from the rest of it, because I was, and again, we've had many conversations about how we don't recognize our own styles. And so I told John this, and he said, what are you talking about? And the only real tell is at the end of that song. If you listen, it goes, you know, the great Leslie Odom Jr. sings, I want to be in the room. And then he goes, click, boom, psh. And that is all that jazz. That's a straight up all that jazz steal.
I hear it.
And that's my little love letter to John.
We have to take another break, but stick around. There's more Lin-Manuel Miranda and John Kander to come.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
John, who are some of your heroes? You're a hero of Lin-Manuel Miranda's. Who are some of your heroes when you were coming up and beginning to first create your music?
George Gershwin, Irving Berlin, Jerome Kern. Every generation has its own, not just musical heroes, but influences. And what really kind of dazzles me that when we work together is that we are separated by not just 2 generations, by 3 generations. And yet the actual process of writing and working is almost absurdly easy.
Yeah.
Really? Even though sometimes when you approach a start a song, you think, I don't know what I'm doing.
But you never know what
you're
doing.
Yeah, but we go there together.
Oh, that's nice. A lonely place to be alone.
Yeah.
What is that feeling like? What is that feeling like when you realize you've gone from not knowing to knowing something? How does that happen? What is that mysterious moment when the blank page turns into not an accusation, but a possibility?
We talk about that all the time, actually.
In the first place, you never know much. You really don't. But something begins to happen, and if you're working with another person, you begin to pile idea on idea. And it's an adventure, and if you don't put some god up there telling you that's no good, you can go ahead and just do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and his hands are really fast. It's like, you know, a lot of what writing is to us is us just eating bagels and talking about what's on TV. And then at a certain point, we'll turn to the piano and we'll talk about the idea we have. his hands will start going, and I'll just start trying to write words to keep up with what's coming out of his hands. And the first song we wrote together, which is the opening number of New York, New York, we wrote in about an hour and 15 minutes. And there's a moment, I actually filmed us singing through it for the first time, and there's this moment where you just kind of look at each other like, this exists now.
I think that... He just said something really important that I think that a lot of people don't understand with people who make art, if you will. One of the great things about making stuff is something is there that was not there before. And I can't tell you what an ego trip that is.
John, thank you so much for being here. Lovely to talk to you. Lynn, as always.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.